Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Alan Eney is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Alan is co-author of Thinking in New Boxes, Five Essential Steps to Spark the Next Big Idea. And he's here to talk to us about those five steps. He's our new friend, Alan Eney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
And his last name is spelled I-N-Y. Very simple. Alan, congratulations on the book. Luc de Brabander is your co-author. And
Right.
And you're also the senior specialist for creativity and scenarios at the Boston Consulting Group. And one of the things that I've been talking to my audience a lot about lately is the fact that innovation has changed everything. Not, and of course, people have been innovating a long time, Alan, but the velocity of innovation, the velocity of change is what's really taking our breath away these days. And so what that means is that we can no longer be innovative once a year and then dine out on that innovation. We've got to be continually innovative, right?
I couldn't agree with you more, Jim, and I think it's more and more true in every industry, actually, that uncertainty is increasing and the lifespan of a good idea is getting shorter. You know, at the same time as all of those changes, though, you know, people I talk to in the corporate world or just, you know, regular anybody around the world, across the country, they are frustrated with what they've been told for 50 years of think outside the box, because when it comes to creativity and innovation, it's just not working. People are not really satisfied with this idea of just, you know, going into a conference room, we need to grow, we need to cut costs, think outside the box, think outside the box. And so this is what really pushed us, all of these things together, to come up with thinking in new boxes, which, as you said, we've called the new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the boxes that we're already in, which some people call paradigms, we found a way to be successful in those paradigms, and that's in those boxes, and that's not a bad thing, because you're not saying don't operate in boxes. You're saying you need to find new boxes.
That's exactly it. I think that you know, we are all human beings. No matter how smart, no matter how good an executive or a leader, whatever it is, we all think using boxes, and these can be really simple ones, like, you know, basketball players are tall, or you know, the rainbow has seven colors.
Right.
Or they can be more complex, like, you know, our ideas of freedom or strategy or market segmentation. But at the end of the day, changing these boxes, changing our mental models as the world changes around us is really important, because to paraphrase one of the things you said, you know, no good idea is going to be good forever. And that was true for the Model T Ford, and it's going to be true for the iPhone and penicillin and anything else you want. I don't know how long any given idea will last, but no idea is good forever.
So let's talk about the five, what you call the five essential steps to spark the next big idea. What's the first one?
The first one is doubt. And it's a great place to start, because to me it's probably the most important and the one that most people skip when they just jump straight into a brainstorm. You know, the idea of doubt is to get a better understanding of your existing ideas. You know, this is the way we do things around here. This is the way we think about our customers. We're a government contractor, and this is the way we work with the government. Whatever it is, identifying the current constraints and assumptions that are holding you back, your current boxes, and then thoughtfully challenging some of those, doubting some of those, and just recognizing that we operate using boxes and we need to be willing to challenge them when the time is right.
Yeah. And also, we need to encourage our people to doubt too, right? I mean, don't we need to create an environment where people can ask questions, they can ask what if or why, and like, you know, like a 3-year-old does, and not be mistreated for that. What do you think?
We do indeed, Jim. I think creating that kind of culture is not easy, but as you say, it's critically important. Not just the way, you know, a three-year-old would ask why, which is absolutely great, but, you know, thinking about these unspoken what-if questions. You know, imagine it's 20 years from now and our company doesn't exist. How did that happen? You know, what if money was no object and we were doing a joint venture with Google? What would that lead to? All sorts of things. Challenging ourselves to move outside of our comfort zone and think about things that would be surprising. What if our competitor suddenly cut costs by 60%?
Right.
You know, any kinds of these what-if questions that push us into new areas can really help creativity.
And the way to get your employees, Alan, it seems to me the way to get your employees to buy into this culture is not to ask them to come up with these things on their own, but for you to set the table, so to speak, set the stage for them to do that by having a get-together, having a meeting, and saying what you just said a minute ago, and say, okay, guys, what would happen if suddenly we were uncompetitive on price by 20%? What would happen if somebody created a game-changing technology that rendered half of our products obsolete, blah, blah, blah? You know, those kinds of things sort of set the table for that kind of thinking. That allows employees to feel like, okay, it's all right to doubt. The boss is asking me to doubt things. What do you think, Alan?
I agree with you. I think that if you set the right tone, not just in a one-day meeting, but if you set the right tone in general, then that kind of thing will cascade down and it will eventually come to be the culture of your company. And that's exactly the kind of culture you want in terms of the continuous innovation you are alluding to.
And of course, then when you do the doubt process and you come up with something, some maybe an idea, possibility, you have to probe that idea, don't you?
I think that's right. This is when you have to really look at the world around you with these fresh lenses. You know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do all of this stuff. On the contrary, you need to look at customer research, competitive intelligence, the trends in your industry. All of that stuff is the second step, exploring the world in front of you. However, doing it while maintaining this culture of doubt that you've just developed and, you know, looking at all of this data in fresh ways rather than the same ways you've always interpreted it.
Right. And in these groups, in these meetings, in these scenarios that you're coming up with, nothing is off the table, right?
Nothing is off the table yet. I think you're quite right. Getting a lot of possibilities on the table, withholding your judgment, getting all of these things on the table is a great place to begin. There was a Nobel Prize winner, Linus Pauling, who said the best way to have a good idea is to have a lot of ideas.
Exactly. I like that. Hold on to that thought. Right back with Alan Eaney, ladies and gentlemen. The new book is called Thinking in New Boxes. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.